Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard and I'm the head of marketing here at Sintons. Joined again today by my colleague Alison Thompson, who is the head of the debt recovery team here at Sintons. And in our podcast today, which is episode 11, Alison is going to concentrate on court orders for sale. So without further ado, good morning, Alison, and over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to our podcast today. In previous podcasts, we have looked at various aspects of the debt recovery process and enforcement. Today, we're going to look at applications for orders for sale. Just to quickly recap, a charging order may be obtained where the judgment debtor is the owner of a property. If the property is owned jointly, then you may still apply to obtain a charging order against the judgment debtor's beneficial interest in that property. The best way to describe the effect of a charging order in this instance is to use a mortgage analogy. When you purchase your property using a mortgage, the mortgage lender will secure their interest in the loan by registering a charge against the property with the land registry. The effect of this is that in the event that the property is sold, the mortgage lender's charge will then be paid before you receive any proceeds of the sale of the property. In a similar way to a mortgage, a charging order registers your debt against the debtor's beneficial interest in the property. It is important to remember, however, that a charging order is what we know as an indirect form of enforcement. That means that it provides security for the judgment debt, but it will not result in a payment unless further action is taken. The charge does not in itself force your judgment debtor to either pay the debt, sell, or refinance their property. If you want to enforce the charging order, then you must consider an application to the court for an order for sale. An order for sale is an order issued by the courts granting the charge holder the right to take possession of the property and then to sell it in order to recover the monies secured by their charge. Essentially, if the court grants an application for an order for sale, then this provides the judgment creditor the ability to sell the property in order to repay the debt which is owed. Orders for sale are often accompanied by an order for possession to enable the sale with vacant possession. The court's power to make a charging order derives from Section 1(1) of the Charging Orders Act 1979. The charging order creates a charge over the debtor's property, including land, to secure the sum payable under a judgment or order of the court. Orders for sale proceedings are governed by CPR 73.10C and states, subject to provisions of any enactment, the court may, on a claim by a person who has obtained a charging order over an interest in the property, order the sale of the property to enforce the charging order. Where a charging order was made at the County Court Money Claims Centre, an application for an order for sale should be made to the judgment creditor's home court. If the amount owed exceeds the county court limit, the application should be made in the High Court, but the High Court can, unless it considers the case merits being heard in the High Court, order the transfer of the proceedings to an appropriate county court hearing centre, and the county court will have jurisdiction to hear the case, notwithstanding that the county court limit has been exceeded. Orders for sale are entirely discretionary, which means there is no automatic right to an order for sale. It is considered an extreme sanction, and the court will carefully consider all the circumstances before granting an order. Some of the circumstances which the court will specifically consider are around proportionality, which means that the court will look at the value of the property as compared to the value of the judgment debt. They will also consider whether the property is the debtor's family home, the welfare of those living in the property, the attitude of other secured creditors, and the attitude of the judgment debtor towards paying the debt. So before considering any application, you should also consider likely prospects of success. You should also consider whether there is any information you require from the judgment debtor, which will allow you to provide any further evidence to support the application. You must then complete the application and file this with the court together with the evidence. The court will provide directions as well as fix a date for the hearing of the application. You must serve a copy of the application on the judgment debtor as well as any party who have a beneficial interest in the property and any party whom the court have ordered you to serve on. Once the hearing has taken place, the court will either grant or dismiss your application for an order for sale. Assuming they have granted the order within the terms of the order of the court, they will provide the judgment debtor with an opportunity to settle the debt by a specified date or the property will be sold. The court's order will also provide a date by which the judgment creditor should get possession of the property to arrange its sale. The property cannot be sold for a sum less than that specified by the court within the order. Once a charging order is obtained, a judgment creditor can apply for an order for sale at any time. Indeed, if property prices are dropping, it may be sensible to wait for them to rise again before proceeding with an application. There is no limitation problems because enforcement of a charging order by seeking an order for sale, being an enforcement step, is not considered an action on a judgment and therefore is not subject to the six-year limitation period under the 1980 Act. Charging orders are also immune from the section of the 1980 Act which places a 12-year limitation on enforcement in relation to a charge on land. You do need to consider carefully whether to apply for an order for sale. You should only do so if there is likely to be sufficient equity following the sale of the property to settle your judgment debt as well as any other charges on the register. It is therefore essential to obtain a professional valuation of the property and do your calculations before you make an application. Remember that prior charges against the property will be paid before yours. It may be risky to apply for an order for sale if you obtained a charging order where there was no default in payment of a judgment debt. This is because Section 93 of the Tribunal Courts and Enforcement Act 2007 amended the Charging Orders Act 1979 so that where a debtor is required by a county court or high court order to pay a sum by instalments, a charging order may be made even though there has been no default in payment. However, the court must still consider the fact that there has been no default and take this into account when deciding whether to make the order for sale. Some consider that a charging order is worth obtaining even if it cannot be enforced. It may prompt payment and it does provide security, albeit security that cannot be enforced. If the charging order is of a beneficial interest in land which is subject to a trust, the application for an order for sale must be made under Section 14 of the Trusts of Land and Appointment of Trustees Act 1996, better known as TLARTA, and the court will exercise its discretion under Section 15 of TLARTA. Although if the charging order is over the entire legal estate and beneficial interest, TLARTA will not apply. I mention this only briefly, and I am not covering the detail of the TLARTA procedure in today's podcast. Our aim in these podcasts is to provide an overview only, and I hope you are finding the topic we cover useful. But of course, if you have any questions at all, then please don't hesitate to contact me or another member of the debt team here at Sintons. So thanks again for listening, and back over to you, David.
Thanks, Alison. Very quickly from me, as usual, we release our webinars, podcasts and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And that includes all episodes of our Understanding Debt Recovery podcast series. In terms of social media, you can follow the Debt Recovery team on Twitter at Sintons Debt. If you'd like to discuss anything Alison's raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her or a member of her team. Alison can be contacted via telephone 0191 226 7878 or via email alison.thompson@sintons.co.uk. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We are very grateful and we don't in any way take your listenership for granted. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll speak to you very soon.